From Tridio Media, I'm Father Roderick, and this is The Daily Breakfast. Hi, and welcome back to the Friday episode of The Daily Breakfast. And I may have mentioned that I've been filming in Amsterdam for the past few weeks. There's this big passion event that is going to be happening. It's a musical event where they use modern pop songs to tell the story of the last days of Jesus' crucifixion and hinting at the resurrection. And this is a massive, massive event in the Netherlands. Millions of people are watching this every year. And this year, the location is going to be the southeastern part of Amsterdam. It's not the pretty one with the canals and everything. This is a very modern neighborhood that was constructed in the second half of the 60s. And so when I was born, basically. And originally, they planned this to be the neighborhood of the future. They had high hopes that if they would build this new neighborhood, it would be modern, would be kind of the best place on earth to live, and everything would be new and well thought out. It was this whole renewal of kind of city planning, etc. In reality, it turned into almost a disaster. 10 years after all these flats and high rises were built, the neighborhood was already in decay. What they didn't think of when they were constructing that neighborhood was that because it was cheap to live there, it was all very modern. A lot of people wanted to live there, including also a lot of people that were immigrating, for instance, from Suriname, that was heading towards independence. And so a lot of people there wanted to come to Amsterdam and live there. And so you had all of a sudden lots and lots of different nationalities, but there was no social plan. There was just a city plan. But they didn't think of what would happen if, for instance, the people that lived there couldn't find any jobs, which was exactly what happened. There was a massive, massive problem there not being enough work. And so when people have no work, they have no income, and that it leads to crime. Crime leads to drugs. And so in the span of 10 years, this was a terrible neighborhood with lots and lots and lots of big city problems. And then it became even worse. In 1992, I was still in seminary at the time in Utrecht, and I remember seeing this on the evening news. On the evening of October the 2nd, 1992, disaster struck, and a cargo airplane, a Boeing 747, crashed into one of the apartment buildings, killing 43 people. Almost a miracle that there weren't more casualties, because it destroyed more than 100 apartments. 43 people died. And it was a shock for the entire country. Schiphol Airport is very nearby. And so all day long, even while I was filming there, we had to stop time and again, because you hear these airplanes that are flying right over the city there. And so that was both kind of the finale of a disastrous development of that neighborhood, but it also became the start of renewal. And after that airplane crash, all sorts of new initiatives were started to improve the neighborhood. A lot of the taller buildings, the flats, they were already from the 60s, so they were falling apart anyway, because it was all concrete. And at the time, they thought that was the way to build houses. Now, of course, with the advances in building techniques, we would do it differently. So they tore down a lot of the older buildings, started building smaller apartments, and they started social renewal. For the first time, there were new initiatives that were geared at trying to build new social cohesion in that neighborhood. And for a web series, I was visiting six of those projects and interviewed people that benefited from them. And I wanted to share with you the life lessons that I've learned. Because I had that image as an outsider of, the southeastern part of Amsterdam. That's trouble. That's drugs. That's crime. That's not safe. People even told us, make sure you keep an eye on your equipment because that's not a safe neighborhood. And I was so blown away by the friendliness of the people that we met and the heart of these projects and the things that people taught me that I wanted to share that with you. And I'm just going through the six projects and tell you what I learned there. The first one that we filmed with Daniel. Daniel had been addicted to drugs, to heroin, for many years. He studied music at the conservatory, but he didn't have a job. So he lived in one of those big buildings, and all around him people were dealing drugs, and he had to kill time. And so he kind of slipped and became a victim of that world of drugs. But in the middle of that neighborhood is a small farm that had been around for many, many years. And the farm was geared towards kids. And so they had, pigs and a few goats and some horses and rabbits. And Daniel had been living there as a child as well. And he loved rabbits, always loved rabbits. And at one point in his life, he volunteered to take care of the rabbits. And at the same time, he was starting to a process of trying to get rid of the drugs and everything. And the rabbits transformed his life. And that is the first lesson that I learned from him, because he told me, these animals, they're very social. They feel it when you are not healthy, when you're not giving them food in time, they suffer. And I love them. I don't want them to suffer. So I made sure that I got better so I could help these rabbits. These rabbits need care on very fixed moments of their lives. And he had no structure in his life as a drug addict. He would sleep when people were awake and vice versa. And for the rabbits taught him to live a more regular life. And the biggest thing, and you could tell him, he was even emotional when he shared that with us. He said, these rabbits, they don't care what you did wrong in your life. They just want you to take care of them. They value you for who you are and not for who you've been and for the mistakes you've made. And that gave him so much love and so much renewed his self-esteem and made him feel that he mattered to these little fluffy creatures. And I was so touched. It was amazing. So how rabbits saved Daniel is amazing. The next place that we visited was a place that gathered many countries. And I met Father Augustine, and he works in a project called The Next Step that helps African immigrants in Amsterdam, in the southeastern part of Amsterdam, to kind of make that their homes. A lot of these people have not been in the Netherlands for very long. And if you come from a small country in Africa and all of a sudden you're confronted with all the bureaucracy and the red tape in Dutch society, and we're very good at that, you need help. And this project, The Next Step, literally helps people make the next step. And Father Augustine himself is from Africa. And he told me that he came to Amsterdam. They asked him if he wanted to be a missionary among the African immigrants in Amsterdam, in the Netherlands. And I talked with him, and he's a priest just like me. And I said, don't you miss your country? And he said, of course I do. I miss my culture, I miss the music, I miss the food, I miss the weather. Why is the Netherlands such a lousy country to live in weather-wise? It's cold, it's raining all the time. But he said, this is what I wanted to do. I am a missionary. My vocation is to be a missionary. And my mission is here in the Netherlands. And I was so touched by his selflessness. And by what he showed me was that in order to be happy or to live out your vocation, it doesn't always mean that that everything in your life is the way you would love it to be. It doesn't mean that you can't miss things in your life. And, it made me think of something that a lot of people always talk about when they talk about the priesthood and the celibacy. Don't you miss having kids? Don't you miss having a partner in your life? Don't you miss passing things on to the next generation? And I would say, you know what? I think that that is definitely something to that is a treasure in your life. To have kids, to have a family. I have a brother and a sister. They both have families. And I'm seeing things that they in their lives that I never thought they would be able to. You see, there is a grace in being a father and being a mother. There is a strength that is given to you to be a father and be a mother. And it's amazing. And I love it. I admire it. And yet, as a celibate priest, my happiness is in knowing that I am perhaps not living a natural life in a certain way, because celibacy is, in a way, it's unnatural. But it is, at the same time, an expression of love and of me wanting to be with God and be with the Lord. And my partner is Jesus. And even if that sometimes makes my life perhaps lonely, or although I'm an introvert, so I like to be lonely from time to time. So I have a lot, but there are many of my fellow priests that sometimes for them it's a struggle to live this life alone. But at the same time, it's not living out your vocation does not always mean a comfortable life, but it means knowing, and that is what makes that's the foundation of true happiness, is knowing that you are where you should be, and that you can be, that you can mean something to the people around you, that you can help others, that replaces other treasures in your life and makes it actually possible to live a celibate life, to dedicate your life to the people around you. And so it's – and I saw that in his eyes. There was a twinkling in his eyes. So even though – Father Augustine is far away from home, and he misses his country and culture in a way that I cannot even understand, because I live here in the Netherlands. I have my culture around me. But I saw that he was truly happy to be a missionary in this cold, you know, outpost in the Netherlands, in this tiny country. And that was an affirmation also of my own vocation. When I see that in someone else, I'm reminded of my own yes to the priesthood and what that means and what is truly the core of that vocation. That's another life lesson. This is going to be a long talk. The third one was a project, Blossom and Growth. Women, also many of which are elderly people or immigrants, that are creating this almost an oasis in all this concrete in Amsterdam, in the southeastern part of Amsterdam. They rent a garden, and then 25 women can create their own little garden, and they help each other grow plants and fruits and vegetables. And I talked with a few of them, and I was struck by how much – and this sounds like a cliche or some perhaps even a bit new agey, but – how much nature heals the soul. I heard testimonies, and some of them I didn't even record, of women that told me, you know, my life has been hell sometimes, very, very difficult, lots of struggles, lots of loneliness and problems. But when I'm here, when I'm in my garden, when I'm with these other women, I'm happy. And something in – it gives me peace. It helps me to step away from all that trouble and to find myself in this oasis. It's like, you know what? That is so true. That is what nature does. And when I'm too stressed and when I'm worrying about all the things in my life that are not the way I want them to be, I know that it helps to go outside and to walk and to just listen to the birds in the woods or go for a long, you know, hour-long walk outside. This contact with nature is really truly beneficial for your well-being physically, psychologically, but even on a spiritual level. Another project was a foundation where people that are in serious debt and sometimes are bankrupt and are completely in financial trouble, where they can make a new start. What struck me there was that I heard from all these people that were one time in their life in deep financial trouble. Some of them even contemplated suicide and whatnot. They came there, and that was the first because sometimes these people go from organization to organization. And this was the first time that people were asking them not about their problems but about their dreams. The first question that was part of their method was, what is your dream? If you could fast forward 5 years in the future, where do you want to be? And that creates motivation to get there. And then step by step, they would help these people realize their dreams. And so it was very much not one solution for everyone, but what do you want to become and what are you going to do? And they're not doing the work for you. You have to make those steps. But to have people that remind you of the fact that you're made for something better than the current misery that you're in, that you are allowed to dream, that the dream can even have an energy, an aspirational strength that helps you to go beyond what you thought was your strength, I found that incredibly inspirational. Another project that I filmed yesterday was the refugee company. Lots of people that have been fleeing countries like Iraq and other countries where a lot of them are Christians, persecuted for their faith. They come here in the Netherlands. They've already had an entire life in the countries where they come from. And here, they're just seen as a refugee. Oh, you're a poor refugee, you know. And they get the lousiest jobs, if they even get a job. Well, the refugee company tries to build new careers with these people. And so they've opened a restaurant in a former prison in Amsterdam, which was one of the worst prisons that we know, or where the worst criminals were kept. And now it's no longer a prison. The building is still there. And so they've opened, among other things, in that building, a restaurant. And I spoke with a Haider. He was from Iraq. Bald head, a big beard. One of the kindest guys that I've interviewed for this series. And he said when he came there, they asked him, what do you like to do? And he said, well, in Iraq, I used to have a coffee shop. And it's not like in the Netherlands and Amsterdam, if you ask for a coffee shop, they will bring you to a place where they sell drugs. But it's a place where you can have a cup of coffee. And that was his job. And so they taught him how to be a barista. And of course, coffee here in Europe, very different from the coffee over there in Iraq. But he loved coffee. He was an aficionado of coffee. So he became a natural barista. And then after 3 months, they asked him, so do you want to start your own, coffee bar? We'll help you with that. Or we have an offer for you. You're good with people. You're motivated. You're kind. Do you want to become a floor manager in our restaurant here and help other refugees to go through that same apprentice phase that you just finished here successfully? And that's what he did. And now he is a floor manager for all the others. And so I spoke with a guy from Nigeria, a Catholic, a refugee. And he told me he was working in the kitchen there. And he was preparing food, and I was looking at that food. And I was like, oh my goodness, that looks like a Michelin star dish. Unbelievable. I mean, it oozed quality. And I heard that he was like the best cook that they had in a long, long time. And so I asked him, were you a cook in Nigeria? And he said, no, Father. I was driving big trucks. I was a truck driver. And then when I came here, there was nobody wanted to hire me. So they asked me, do you want to become a cook? And I said, sure, why not? And he discovered that he was actually amazingly good at cooking. And then he said something to me, unrequested. I didn't ask him about that. He said, you know, Father, that is it with God. He guides you in directions you never dare to dream of. But you still need to listen, because God comes up with stuff that we cannot come up with ourselves. And so this truck driver from Nigeria now is on his way, I think, to becoming a master chef. Amazing, amazing. It was such an amazing day. And then the final thing that I did was I visited a project for African kids, also in Amsterdam. A lot of these kids are from African families. So people that were still born on the continent of Africa are all of a sudden find themselves in a completely different culture, a different country, and their kids are born here. And they grow up in the Dutch society and culture. And so this group of volunteers takes care of these kids and helps them to – and helps the parents also with all these questions that you have as parents. You know, you may have a certain way of raising your kids in Africa, but that doesn't work here. So how do you help parents to be good parents that help their kids integrate in society? Well, with these kids, we went to the final rehearsals and first filming sessions of this big musical Jesus event of the Passion in Amsterdam. And the kids got to interview Jesus. Now, all these roles of the apostles and Jesus himself are played by artists from the Netherlands, many of who had nothing with faith. And so Jesus says, yeah, I got the gig. It's cool. I get to be Jesus and perhaps this will help me with my career. There's really nothing religious about the guy. And then these kids were like, oh, we're going to interview Jesus. And so I talked with these kids. I interviewed them and I was struck by how much faith came natural to them. There was this girl and she's like, oh, I'm going to ask him about my favorite Bible passage. And I was like, okay, your favorite Bible passage, what is it? And so she took the Bible from her purse. She had a Bible in her purse and she opened it and it was like colored everywhere. She had like used all sorts of colors to underscore her favorite passages and say, I'm going to ask him about this psalm. And she read it to me. And she did that. And she asked Jesus about why he didn't go to church. And Jesus was like, well, I don't know. And so these kids were more religious than Jesus himself. It was so funny. But you know what? The lesson that I learned there is never underestimate kids. And when you think if your generation is fed up with faith, don't project that on the next generation. Don't believe for a second that, you know, it's over and out with the church and with faith. These kids showed me that sometimes a new generation is more open to faith and reads the Bible with more intent and enthusiasm than the generation of artists and people that have made it in society or in our entertainment industry. And so, you know what? Gave me new hope in the future. These kids are growing up in a neighborhood in Amsterdam that was once considered to be the worst of the worst. Well, what I saw there was the best of the best. These kids are the future of the Netherlands. And, that was amazing. All right. That's it for this week. Thank you for listening. Thank you for checking out these videos also on YouTube. And if you are on YouTube and you're not subscribed to the channel yet, now is the time to push that subscribe button. And if you want to listen to the audio only version, then you can do that. You can subscribe to this as a podcast and then you'll get to hear me during your breakfast every morning on your mobile device or, you know, on your computer if you like that. Go to tridio.com for other shows. I want to recommend my new Star Wars show. It's called That Star Wars Priest, and it's available as a long-form podcast. There's also another long-form show. It's called The Walk. It's a weekly walk that I share with my listeners. And then there is Ask Father Roderick, which is a show for my patrons over at patreon.com/FatherRoderick. If you have any questions, that is the place where I answer them. All right. Thank you for being with me this week. Keep in mind, between Easter and Pentecost, our first Tridio Fun Drive for our Lego and Star Wars project. I will talk to you next week. Take care and God bless.